I've come here from Bristol. I'm at a church in Bristol called Pip and Jay. Some might be familiar to some of you. I live there with my wife Lucy. And I'm here really to celebrate the partnership that was formed back in September between you guys here at St Mary's Cogs and TLG, Transforming Lives for Good, which is the organisation I work for. But first, I just wondered if you could take a minute, turn to the person next to you, just talk about what was school like for you. Maybe some of you are still at school, but if you remember that far back, the rest of you, what was school like for you? What was good? What was hard? And who was significant in that time? Go. I heard quite a lot of laughing, and I saw quite a lot of smiling, but also some frowning and some serious things being said there. So I think across a room of this size, we're going to have a huge spectrum of experiences at school. And back in September, an intrepid group of coaches who are part of this church. How many is it, Charlotte? Is it five of you? Five people from this church began going into Blake Primary School for an hour a week to meet with one child who was really struggling, whether that's because of things going on in school or because of things going on at home. And they began to do what we call coaching, emotional literacy coaching, for those of you who know the educational lingo. Before I worked for TLG, I was a social worker in child protection with Bristol City Council. And I've always said that if I could have one wish for all the service users that I ever worked with, whether it was children, mums, dads, grandmas, grandpas, whoever, my one wish for all of them would to have had, when they were in early childhood, one safe, trustworthy adult relationship where they could talk about how they're feeling, explore what's going on for them, and be accepted and be cared for. And that's what those five coaches, ordinary people from your church, are doing. They're taking part in what we call our early intervention project. Now, why do we do it, before we kind of look at some of the nuts and bolts? The reason we do it is because of statistics like this. These are 2017 stats from the Department for Education. Did you know that 35 children are excluded every school day in England? 62,000 children each year in the UK are excluded from primary school. That's under 11. And 7,000 of these children are under the age of 6. So already we have children by the age of 6, 7,000 in this country, where the emotional problems in their life, probably things going on at home, have become so catastrophic that the school says, we can't deal with this child of 5 or 6 anymore. And if you'll forgive the expression, we know that the data tells us that it's these kind of children that society leaves really on the scrap heap. The children who are excluded are most likely to end up in our prison systems. They're most likely to end up in our addiction centres, on the streets. And at TLG, this is really our starting point in our history, is really having a heart for the children who have been cut aside. We will all know, won't we, wherever we got our news, that child and adolescent mental health is a real problem in our culture. Did you know that 1 in 10 children aged 5 to 16 years have a diagnosable mental health problem? You'll notice that doesn't say diagnosed, that says diagnosable. So not all of these kids are going to be getting the help that they need for that until much, much later, until symptoms are bad enough, in inverted commas, to get some help. And finally, half of all mental health problems manifest before the age of 14 years. So what we at TLG and you guys here at St Mary's Cogs are trying to do is something quite radical. What we're trying to do is get in early and deal with some of this stuff before these children do become the statistics of 2018 or 2019 or 2030. And so we're passionate about churches like this one getting out of the four walls of the church building and into the community and meeting needs that are there. And I'm delighted to be amongst a church that does that. And so I'm just going to invite Charlotte up, who is at this church, and she's one of the coaches who's been going into Blake Primary School since September. I'm just going to ask her a couple of questions about kind of how it works. So what are the needs of the children in Blake Primary School? Why is it kind of worth your time and our time to be talking about this?
For Whitney, you expect there not really to be a need because it's such a lovely area and there's lots of lovely families and stuff. But underneath the surface, there are actually a lot of families that are struggling, and even that go to a Christian school. So in Blake's, there's quite a lot of children that haven't got a secure background, have lots of problems in the family, aren't relating with their friends very well, and this becomes very disruptive, and then teachers have to stop teaching to try and deal with these problems. And so actually for children to learn, it's important for them to feel safe and secure and happy. And I think with Blake's particularly, that they've recognised that this need is quite overwhelming. So there's different situations of families where there's abuse going on at home, addictions, or it could just be that parents are putting children down and not lifting them up to thrive. So there is a need.
Yeah. And why did you decide to get involved?
I decided to get involved after hearing about TLG and thinking, well, I'm a teacher, so I've not been teaching for a while, but I've missed being with children. And so I think God prompted me really to say, actually, this is something you can do, and you can come alongside a family, a child, and hopefully make a difference in their life.
And just share with us, you're obviously going in for an hour a week, meeting with one child, is it? And you'll be meeting them for the whole school year.
Yeah.
Just give us encourage us with one thing that you've seen in your time coaching since September.
There's actually quite a few encouraging things. When I first met my child that I'm sort of coming alongside, I found it really difficult to, because I'm teacher trained and background, I found it actually quite difficult to become a mentor rather than you know, sort of a friend as it were and coach rather than a teacher. And so I struggled for a few weeks trying to get a balance between behaviour, because the person I was coaching was quite difficult at times. So she would, in the room we have, there's lots of drawers and there's lots of shelves, and she would just spend the whole time going through the drawers and looking on the shelves. And she was a bit like a polar bear trapped in a zoo, in a way. So she was just roaming around the room. And I was finding that quite difficult, not really knowing what to do with her. Because everything I said to her, or everything I said, oh, let's try this, she was like, no, I don't want to do that. And so that was back in September. It reached a head probably just before Christmas. And finally, now, we've got to the point where actually this last session that I did with her was incredibly peaceful. She sat, she did the activity I brought in for her, and it's in these times when I'm thinking, oh, what am I going to do today, that God really uses those times and encourages me through it, but also is building up the relationship between me and the person that I'm coaching so that she now feels free to open up a little bit. So we've been able to talk about her hopes, we've been able to talk about for the future and for the near future and long-term future. We've been able to sort of touch on some of the issues that she's having at school and at home, and just to be there to listen, not to solve it, not to maybe give solutions and things like that, but just to listen so that she feels that she can trust me in what she would like to share. And so that's now starting to come through.
And there's people like Charlotte, ordinary people in ordinary churches right across the country who are doing this. And for our part at TLG, we train our coaches. So they attend a training day. We give them loads of resources and training on how to be a good coach, how to talk about hopes, fears, emotions with children. We're going to just quickly turn to scripture for a bit here, just because we do this at TLG because we love Jesus and we want to see people the way that Jesus sees people. And one of the things that I love most about Jesus is that he doesn't see things the way that I see things naturally, and he doesn't do things the way that I would like to do things often. That's what I love about him. And when we read statistics like the ones that we read earlier about the prevalence of child mental ill health and about the exclusions and the effect that those children, the consequences for those children in adulthood, when we read those statistics, it is easy to get discouraged, isn't it? And to despair of our leaders and to get downhearted. But actually, Jesus invites us to see things a little bit differently. When we see people who are broken, when we see, the poor, the smelly, the deceitful, the liars, and the brokenhearted, it's easy to be overwhelmed by just the problem. But when Jesus sees those very people right through the Gospels, he sees them and he says, "These are my family," and he invites them to come to him, and they receive him with joy and with gratitude. And so we're just going to read just the first nine verses of a story in John chapter 9 about how Jesus sees things. We're going to think about the vision of Jesus. So let's read it together. John chapter 9, verse 1 to 9. As Jesus went along, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" "Neither this man nor his parents sinned," said Jesus, "but this happened so that the works of God might be displayed in him. As long as it is day, we must do the works of him who sent me. Night is coming when no one can work. While I'm in the world, I am the light of the world." After saying this, he spat on the ground, made some mud with the saliva, and put it on the man's eyes. "Go," he told him, "wash in the pool of Siloam." This word means sent. So the man went and washed and came home seeing. His neighbors and those who had formerly seen him begging asked, "Isn't this the same man who used to sit and beg?" Some claimed that he was. Others said, "No, he only looks like him." But he himself insisted, "I am the man." So we join Jesus here in verse 1. And he is out walking in Jerusalem with his friends, which all sounds extremely lovely. But at this point in John's Gospel, Jerusalem is a place his disciples increasingly don't want to go. They're from up north in Galilee, and they've come down for this religious festival, this feast. But they're beginning to realise that Jesus is increasingly the most recognisable and famous person of their time. And he's also becoming the most controversial. He's just spent the previous two chapters having the most almighty theological scrap with the religious leaders of that time, in full view of the public. And this scrap culminates in one of the most dramatic moments in all of Scripture, as Jesus declares in front of everyone, "Look, I'm telling the truth. I am God. I am the Creator. I am the one who has always existed." And the religious leaders, they try to execute him on the spot. And so as we join Jesus in chapter 9, walking along the road with his disciples. They are in grave and immediate danger, almost certainly. And amidst this peril, and amidst this intense drama, Jesus stops for something in the middle of the road. And you would think that whatever that thing was that would make him stop at that moment would have to be pretty important. John, the gospel writer, tells us in verse 1, as he went along, he saw a man blind from birth. Now, John is one of the friends who's walking with Jesus, almost certainly, at this point. And he may have been one of the guys saying, you know, look, enough already, Jesus. We need to get to safety. We need to get out of here. This is not a good time. But Jesus wants us to notice, John wants us to notice that Jesus' priorities at this point are very different to ours, very different to his disciples. Jesus sees things very differently. And at a time when medical solutions to disease and disability would have been absolutely prehistoric, and at a time when the causes of disease or disability would have been attributed to spiritual sin of some kind, and in a moment when he is in very grave personal danger, Jesus, verse 1 tells us, has eyes to see a man born blind from birth. He sees not merely a beggar, but a human being. He sees a man. And in those days, a blind person would have been written off by society. That's why he's out there begging instead of, you know, getting work or getting an education. And we can see from the reaction of the disciples in verse 2 that even the followers of Jesus don't always see things right. They don't always have the vision to see the human being. The disciples in verse 2 see this guy as just a theological conundrum. They say, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? He's not a human to those around him. They walk on by. He blurs into the background. This man, from the moment his parents first realized that their tiny baby couldn't see, would have been destined for the scrap heap of society. But Jesus doesn't just see the problem of his disability as some kind of conceptual thing. He sees the whole human story in this guy. Behind a life of blindness, he steps in. He says, enough. And in verse 3, he responds to the disciples by saying, neither this man nor his parents sinned, but this happened so that the work of God might be displayed in his life. One of the things I love the most about Jesus is where others see problems to be solved or to be despaired of, Jesus sees opportunities for the kingdom to grow. Jesus sees opportunities for people to know the goodness of God. He has the vision, almost the imagination, to see that this situation could be different and could bring glory to God. And that is the story of TLG, of the organisation that I work for. We began on the last day of 1998 in Bradford, West Yorkshire. We came out of a small, unfashionable church in a small, unfashionable council estate. Nothing remarkable about that church whatsoever. And the way that it started was that there were a whole bunch of teenagers on this council estate in Bradford who just seemed to have no hope in life. They seemed to have no direction whatsoever. And on Sundays, they would quite regularly come down to church and stand outside and throw rocks at the window. And in that moment, that church has two choices. It can either see this as a problem and call the cops, go call 999, or it can see with the vision of Jesus that this isn't necessarily a problem to be solved, but an opportunity for God to be glorified and for these kids to be loved. So that church chose to have Jesus' vision. And it started with youth projects. It started just by employing a youth worker. And now it's a national charity. The thing that TLG we're probably most well known for is our education centres, which is where we partner with churches to start an Ofsted inspected school. And that's, for those who know the educational lingo, that's a pupil referral unit. So for children who've been permanently excluded from school, they can come to a TLG school, a church school, and they can get intensive care. Not intensive care like in the hospital sense, but they can be kind of drawn in and educated. They can have hope and a future again. We also have Toolkit, which is a parenting course for families whose children really struggle in school. We run, obviously, early intervention coaching, which Charlotte and Judith Ledden and the team are running here. And we've just integrated a charity into TLG called Make Lunch, who try to meet the need of holiday hunger, which is where children who maybe have free school meals through term time, they get a hot meal. In holiday time, they often go hungry. They're not getting the right nutrition. And so we've just launched TLG Make Lunch as well, where churches are getting together to meet the need of holiday hunger and to meet that challenge head on in the name of Jesus. But like Jesus in John 9, we want to be more than just helpful. We don't want to just do this to be the nicest Christians in town. We are so passionate that it's more than that. And verse 5 of John 9 says, "While I'm in the world, I'm the light of the world. While I'm in the world, I'm the light of the world," says Jesus. And we know, don't we, that he calls us now to be the light of the world. He says, you're the light of the world now. You're the those who are filled with my city, with my spirit are a city on a hill that cannot be hidden. And so Jesus, he doesn't just have the love to heal this guy. He also has the power. And he gives his spirit willingly to his church to go and do the same. And so what I want to just show now is a quick video about a girl named Ruby who was coached a couple of years ago now by just someone in her local church through TLG Early Intervention. And her mum, Emma, we're also going to hear from as well. And we're going to see that in 2018 or 2016, we're going to see that Jesus still has the power to bind up the brokenhearted, to bring healing, to bring wholeness and restoration. Let's watch this video.
Before the coaching, tough times, because, like, I was actually being bullied at school. Well, before Joe introduced herself to me, Ruby and me were both apprehensive about starting at Emmanuel School.
I was worrying, like, a lot, because it was, like, new school. Like, it was like, going to be, like, massive and stuff.
Ruby would always have a meltdown when I picked her up from school. She'd hold all her emotions in all day at school. Whether it could have been something that had triggered her in the morning, and then when I picked her up at 3, it'd just be the whole world has ended and It were hard on me and it were hard on Ruby.
I was, like, really worried about going to Emmanuel because, you know, I've got bottles in my Asperger's, you know. My brother calls it asparagus. And for the millionth time, I am not a vegetable.
There were plenty of visits to Emmanuel and meeting the staff, going at busy times, going at quiet times. With Joe taking you on the visits to Emmanuel, that helped a lot because Ruby were becoming familiar with the surroundings. Joe, she's an angel. She's an angel. Because of my depression, the doctors wanted to give me antidepressants, and that's not the road that I wanted to go down. But going to church it's helped me more than what any antidepressant and bereavement counselling could do, because I know that God's got a plan for all of us and that God loves me.
Thanks, Joe. You just helped me in a lot of ways. Made me feel better about myself. Oh, God, my tears. making me feel better about myself. You made me feel happy. Thank you for all the things that you've did. I really appreciate it.
The story continues, so we're 2 years on from that video, and Ruby, her little brother, Emma, are all still plugged in with their local church, and Emma's in a kind of a Bible study group, Ruby goes to the youth work, and it's just an amazing story of a struggling family being introduced to the love of the local church, and that is just what we desperately want. At TLG, we want lives to be transformed by the love of Jesus and by churches demonstrating that to their communities. So I just want to ask whether you would do three things. There's five coaches in your midst who every week are faithfully going into Blake Primary and are meeting with children from a whole host of different situations. And I just really want you to pray for them, just to be praying for them whenever you drive past Blake Primary or you see a story on the news about children struggling, children's mental health. I want you to pray for the guys who are going in into schools from your church and to encourage them. The second thing it would be amazing if you do is to consider joining the team. To consider training to be an early intervention coach in either Blake School or perhaps another local school. If you know Judith Ledden at this church, she is leading that team. She would be a great person to talk to. Maybe you're just feeling the Spirit of the Lord perhaps nudge you in that direction. That would be amazing. An hour a week in term time to make just an unbelievable difference to someone who's really struggling. And finally, we want to do this more. We want to do this in... There's struggling children and families in every town in England who would just never step through the door of their local church. And we want to do more of this. We want to train more people in churches to do really good quality early intervention mentoring. And so I have got copies today of the TLG story, Out of the Ordinary, which is a book written by... my boss, our chief exec, Tim Morfin. I'd love to give those away today to anyone who would like to either stay in touch with what we're doing via email or who would like to become a regular giver to the work of TLG. We are putting on a big family adventure weekend coming up, I think, in June, which is free to any family that has any involvement with the TLG project. And three families from Blake are going to be going. It's up near Birmingham, and it's just going to be a weekend of kind of activities and fun, and we want to do more of that stuff as well. So if you would consider partnering with us financially, that would be just so wonderful. But if not, please do just pray for what we're doing in churches across the UK. We've also got eight churches who've just come on board in Portugal, in Lisbon, in Portugal, which was just an amazing story about, behind that, about how that came about. And we've just got our first church in Northern Ireland, in Belfast, on, is it the Shankill Road? On the Shankill, a church working on the Shankill Road. So if you're familiar with the history of the troubles in Northern Ireland, you'll know the significance of doing work like this in a place like that. So, I just wondered if maybe I could just pray a prayer of blessing over your church. It's just been amazing to be here today. We're just going to bless the coaches. And also I know that obviously you're advertising for a children and families worker. And I just want to bless, I know you're a church family who really values children and families work. So let's just pray for that now. Jesus, thank you so much that you have not just the compassion, but also the power today in 2018 to change the lives of people who society would quite often write off, who might be another statistic if it weren't for your grace and your goodness. And I thank you so much for this church, their heart for prayer, their heart for their community, their heart for children and families work. I just pray, Lord Jesus, would you be equipping the right person to step into this new role in children and families work? Would you bring someone who is dynamic, who is compassionate, and who loves you very much, so that children and families associated with the work of this church and in the community would be led to you. And we thank you so much for the five people who have been coaching in their local school since September. We thank you for Judith and Charlotte and the others, that they have chosen to see with your vision. And we thank you that the work that they're doing is significant. Thank you that it makes a difference to teachers. Thank you that it makes a difference to parents. And thank you that it makes a difference to pupils. Lord, would you just refresh them as they come into the last third of the academic year now? Would you give them just a really significant couple of months now of just building on the rapport that they have made? And would they make a real difference in the lives of those children? And Lord, I pray that anyone here who would like to join that team would just be emboldened and be encouraged. Lord, would you just lead by the right hand anyone who wants to take that step? And so, Lord, pray a blessing on this church and its work in its community here in Whitney, in the name of Jesus. Amen.